I'm Jack Howe, host of the new Barron's Streetwise podcast on business and investing. Each week we hear from company chiefs and analysts about profound changes facing investors. We've heard from Disney's Bob Iger about the future of movies and theme parks, CVS's Larry Merlo about stores providing more health services, and Ford's Jim Hackett about how the pandemic might change the car business. Subscribe to Barron's Streetwise on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, April 30th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Facebook is one of several tech companies that released their first quarter earnings on Wednesday. And the report comes as founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg is pushing a sort of rebranding for the social network. Our reporter Deepa Seetharaman will join us to take a closer look at Zuckerberg and the latest iteration of Facebook after these headlines. The Trump administration has penalized Amazon over intellectual property rights. On Wednesday, the U.S. Trade Representative's office put five of Amazon's foreign platforms on a list of notorious markets. The action implicated Amazon websites in Canada, France, Germany, India, and the U.K. in facilitating sales of counterfeit and pirated goods. A spokesperson for Amazon called it a, quote, purely political act and pointed to President Trump's frequent criticism of Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos. More Amazon news. Prime subscribers will now be able to stream NFL games for the next 3 years. Under the extended deal, Amazon will continue to be the exclusive streaming home of Thursday Night Football, and the platform will also have exclusive national rights to one Saturday game. According to someone with knowledge of the agreement, the deal is north of what Amazon previously paid, which was $65 million a year. Lyft announced that it's cutting 17% of its workforce, while also furloughing workers and slashing pay for those still on the payroll. The pandemic has severely disrupted the ride-hailing business overall. Rival Uber is reportedly considering similar measures. Lyft announced the move in an SEC filing before it reports its first quarter earnings next week. Speaking of earnings, several major tech companies released earnings reports yesterday. Spotify continued to add both paying and ad-supported users last quarter, but saw dwindling ad sales amid uncertainty about the coronavirus. Music consumption has been down in the markets hardest hit by the virus, like Italy and Spain, but the company has started to see signs of recovery in many other areas. Microsoft posted strong earnings, propelled by a 59% increase in its cloud computing business in the first quarter. CEO Satya Nadella said in a statement that the company had seen the equivalent of 2 years of digital transformation in just a few months. And analysts had expected Tesla to lose money, but instead, for the first time in the company's history, it posted a third consecutive quarterly profit. The gains were fueled by regulatory tax credits and strong demand for its Model 3 compact car before the pandemic shut down U.S. production. Tesla says it's too soon to say how it might fare through the rest of 2020. Okay, up next. Facebook was among the companies to report earnings yesterday, and it did so in a moment of major change. Our reporter Deepa Seetharaman will join us to explain after the break.
When the world is at a standstill, facts can move us forward. Facts help us make decisions and bring us together even as we're apart. The Wall Street Journal has the facts in these uncertain times. Get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak with free coverage of the crisis and its impact on the economy, politics, culture, and daily life. Find the clarity you need with America's most trusted news source. Visit WSJ.com and stay informed.
More than 2.5 billion people are now using Facebook every month. That's according to the company's first quarter earnings report, which it released on Wednesday. And despite tremendous uncertainty due to the pandemic, the company still managed to double profits from the same period last year. The earnings report comes as Facebook is attempting to reposition itself after years of scandals and controversies ranging from user privacy violations to misinformation campaigns carried out on their site. The social network is hoping to turn its image around, but they're not bringing in anyone from the outside to do it. Leading the charge is founder, chairman, and CEO Mark Zuckerberg. Who else? Our reporter Deepa Seetharaman has been looking into Zuckerberg and Facebook, and she joins us now. Deepa, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So you wrote a pretty deep investigation into this, including about a very pivotal board meeting that took place last December, in which members of Facebook's board met to discuss how to reposition the company in the public eye. Can you just remind us what Facebook was dealing with at that point?
So at that point, Facebook had endured probably 3 years of bad press and criticism and controversy. It started after the 2016 election when the company was accused of being too lax about all the fake information on the sites and on its platform, and then continued the following year when it disclosed that Russian agents had created fake Facebook profiles to try to influence American political discussion, and then Cambridge Analytica happened, and you know, and last year they were in hot water over their political ad policies. You know, that led to a lot of internal strife as well. So by December of last year, you know, they're kind of exhausted. I mean, it had been 3 really tough years, a lot of criticism, a lot of public apologies.
So then this board meeting happens, December 2019. It's at Mark Zuckerberg's 700-acre estate in Hawaii. And it sounds like he was hoping to find a way to smooth over a lot of these tensions. What did they end up deciding?
So they didn't, there wasn't much in terms of concrete outcomes from that particular meeting. I mean, there was a lot of discussions about, you know, company strategy and some of the regulatory issues they were facing. Last year, they paid a $5 billion FTC fine related to some of their data practices, and they needed to make some changes at the board level to comply with the new FTC rules. So they had a lot of these ticky-tacky issues to work through. But, you know, it was just about kind of coming together and healing after a really tough year. And there were definitely some people who left that meeting feeling as if, hey, I think, you know, Mark is hearing me. I think that maybe this is, we can get through this. And, you know, a few months later, a lot of things changed.
So what changed? Now I'm intrigued.
It starts with Mark in January. You know, they were reporting fourth quarter earnings, and he's addressing the analysts, and he says, you know, in the past, one of our big problems was we wanted to be liked, and now I'm changing that approach. I don't care about being liked. For the next decade, I want to be understood. And then it became clear to a lot of board members, but also a lot of executives at the company, that he was going to stick with this political ad policy. And just to remind you, that policy is that Facebook would not fact check political ads. This made a lot of people, particularly Democrats, angry. To them, it makes it seem like Facebook is allowing the Trump campaign to buy lots of ads on Facebook, spend unlimited money, and just spread a message in a very targeted way, in a way that is hard to refute. He seemed to be really sticking to his guns on that particular policy, and that rankled some of the board members. And then, you know, through the first few months of the year, he appoints a new board member, and it's one of his close friends. It's a guy named Drew Houston, who is the CEO of a company called Dropbox. And, you know, Mark and Drew have been friends for a long time. So one of his friends joins the board. And over time, it feels as if some of the other board members, namely Ken Chenault, who used to be the American Express CEO, and Jeff Zients, who, you know, is in the financial industry, the two of them start to feel like they're on the out. And they are starting to feel like, hey, you know, maybe this isn't going so smoothly, and maybe we need to think about a way out. You know, and during this time, Mark is clashing with other board members. You know, our understanding is that he and Mark Andreessen clashed over whether Facebook could comply with the FTC regulations. You know, there's a lot going on during this time, and it ultimately results in two board members stepping down in March.
But it seems like right now, especially after these earnings reports, that Zuckerberg is still very much on top, despite all of this rankling. Has anything happened in the past few months since the coronavirus pandemic came in that has kind of turned the page for him?
I think so. If you think about what the pandemic has done is it's forced a ton of people to stay at home. And for social connection, they need to go online. And Facebook is still the best place to see all your friends online, to interact with them, to hear what they're up to. And, you know, same with Instagram and same with WhatsApp. And these are both services that Facebook owns. And so Facebook sees a huge surge in usage almost immediately. Typically, Facebook's heaviest usage day of the year is around the stroke of midnight on New Year's, because that's when everyone takes selfies and wishes their friends, you know, Happy New Year, and just sends a lot of messages. And the activity that Facebook was seeing, it was like the stroke of midnight every minute. It was kind of an incredible crush of traffic to the site. So Facebook, you know, they're sending their people home to work from home, but, you know, their engineers are working really hard to make sure that the service doesn't break down. At the same time, you know, Mark has taken the whole company basically and said, okay, like, how do we reorient ourselves to meet the current moment? How do we think about our products in different ways? So one of the things he asked some of his product managers to do is, okay, well, how are people using the internet during this pandemic? You know, what are the services they're using, and how can we get them to do that on Facebook? So last week you saw Facebook announce a bunch of different video tools that sound kind of like Zoom, and that's the result of that kind of direction. And so that's what he's doing kind of inside the company. But, you know, externally, he is really public. You know, he's interviewing Anthony Fauci on his personal Facebook page. He and his wife are interviewing Gavin Newsom on his personal Facebook page. He is announcing something what feels like almost daily to around what Facebook or his family foundation, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, what those two entities are doing around coronavirus. So he's very public, and he's very, very in everybody's kind of, he's taking up the attention of everybody to making clear, here are all the different things that Facebook is doing. So he's been very public and very, very out there.
All of the things that you're describing are kind of a very public attempt to show the positive sides of Facebook, right? To really highlight the positive that it can do and the way that it can spread positive and truthful factual information. And sounds like he's really working hard to support that narrative. So my question is that working internally as well?
I think internally among employees, there's a feeling that, you know, there's a feeling of purpose. I think, you know, morale seems to have ticked up among some of the old timers at Facebook. There's a feeling of, oh, hey, this feels like the old days, right? Like where, you know, Facebook could do no wrong. You know, there's definitely a feeling, the morale is on the upswing within the company. But at the same time, there's also this understanding that the company's gone through a lot of changes. It isn't the old days. It's not. There have been a lot of policies, a lot of different moves that have happened over the last couple of years, you know, where other executives have had to leave Facebook because they disagree with Mark. And those moves have had consequences, you know, and I think that's shaped the company too. You know, it's not lost on people internally that so many board members have left within the space of a year. You know, it's five and the board is only nine people. And so there's I would describe it as sort of a feeling of renewed purpose, but there's also a realism. It doesn't seem as idealistic as it would have been maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Fascinating reporting. Our reporter, Deepa Seetharaman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, before we go, our work from home hotline is still open. You can submit your tech stories and questions, and our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be back on Friday to share her favorite tips and solutions as well. We got a clip from Kyle Steven Jansen in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And let me just tell you, this is not your typical work from home tech story. Kyle runs the Prototyping Center at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and he and his team are using 3D printing to make reusable masks.
We used 3D printing to create molds that we could then pour skin-safe medical-grade silicone into. And from this, we created what clinicians are comfortable to use, and it will save them from needing to replace masks on a regular basis throughout the day. And we're also using an off-the-shelf Class 2 FDA-approved medical device filter that's already available. So we have very little/zero risk of causing cancer. We just came up with our design freeze, our minimum viable product, and we're flying forward with that. In the meantime, we'll do some testing. We have partnerships with a couple of hospitals in town. We're going to give masks to them and get feedback from them quickly, make quick iterations, design changes, and implement those as soon as we hear from them, anything that needs to change.
Kyle and his team are planning to put that recipe online so that anyone with a 3D printer can create these masks.
The reason this has been a success is because nobody's asked for credit. It's been the most exhausting, humbling, and probably the proudest project I've ever had the opportunity to work on in about a 20-year mechanical engineering career. And I hope to never, ever, ever have to work this hard again. But it's been a thrill. It's been emotional. I've cried every single day for a month, and we're really, really proud of what we've come up with.
If you want to share your own story or your work-from-home tech challenge you can't figure out, you can leave us a voice message at the number in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.